Good morning, everyone. Lovely to see everyone, and thank you for the opportunity to come together for a combined church service today. I was surprised with the photo of the church camp, 2024, it says, but the pictures is actually 2010, and I saw the kids, those kids here singing. Oh. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful time that you have given us to come together as a church, as a family, to worship you and to look into your word and be blessed by your love and grace. Bless us, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Christ Center Church started 2020, actually, January 2020, January, 2 months before the COVID-19 starts. But God is gracious as we are able to go into it, and God is so amazing. And the purpose of our church, or everyone's church, is to proclaim the good news, which is Paul in Romans chapter 1 mentioned the gospel of God, the good news of God, and that he was set apart for that role, to proclaim that role. So this morning, we're going to look on that part, Paul's being set up for the gospel, set apart for the gospel of God. Well, the last statistics, census conducted by the government said that Filipinos in Australia 2016 was 304,000. And in 2022, there were 408,000 Filipinos. In Blacktown, in New South Wales, we have 152,000. In Blacktown, 35,579. So many Filipinos here in Blacktown. That's when you're in West Point Shopping Center, you can hear Filipinos speaking. I was in Westfield one time and having a meal, lunch, and some old lady smiled at me, and I smiled at her. And she thought that I'm her nephew. And he said, do you see your uncle? And he pointed the guy who was in the counter of Oporto. And I waved. And we end up sitting in one table and having meal together. And then realize they don't know me and I don't know them. And we talk about the gospel and the church and some spiritual things. But it's funny. We don't know each other, but we end up having one meal together in one table. Well, that's actually Filipino. So. Well, Romans, when we look at numbers, the migrants from 2016 to 2021 arrivals in Blacktown is 31,162. An estimate of 130 nationalities in Blacktown, 130 languages in Blacktown. And probably the most growing numbers, aside from the Filipinos, are the Indians and the African Sudanese. And when we look on these numbers, what thoughts will come into our minds? Oh, migrants are coming. But one thing that actually reminds me is this verse. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless. Well, the migrants are not harassed and helpless here in Sydney. Like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Isn't it the numbers reflect this verse? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into harvest field. More people are coming. In the next few years, more migrants are coming. Population are growing. And we need to work hard, double time, to reach the community for Christ, to proclaim the good news of God. Romans 1 is all about the good news of God. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. Let us always be reminded the truth that the good news that we proclaim is not yours, is not mine, is not ours, it's not Paul's, it's God's message. He designed it, he planned for it, he delivered it, with his son. Paul said in Galatians, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." We don't own this good news. We don't own this message. It's God's gospel. And Paul said, it's not my invention. It's not, someone did not taught. It is Christ himself revealed it to me. Christ, the Son of the living God, revealed to Paul the content of that good news, of that gospel. And it's good to know the reality that this message is not from us. And because it is from God, it is so powerful to be delivered. And we experience how powerful the gospel of God is. When Paul said, "For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Look how Paul presented this good news. He said, "I receive it by the revelation from Christ." The message that he received, he told to the Corinthians, "I pass it on to you on the first importance." He gave importance and significance of the urgency. The message that I receive, I'm passing on to you. December 1922, Cyril and Anna Brooks from aboard a ship in Victoria, in British Columbia, and then they went to the Philippines. That was 1922. And that is the start of the Christian Brethren movement in the Philippines. They celebrated their 100 years last December. As of now, we have more than 200 local assemblies in the whole Philippines. And with that couple who started the ministry, thousands of people became to know the Lord, not only with the Brethren movement, but with the leaders of the Baptist and other denominations, actually came to know the Lord because of this couple who passed on the message that they received, the gospel of God, which is, we call Cyril Brooks, most of the workers call him Dad Brooks, because you always recognize him, the one who passed on the gospel of God to the Filipinos. And I'm actually part, probably, the least of those people who received the gospel. But the message of God was delivered to each and every Filipinos, and many people came to know the Lord. The gospel belongs to God. It is God's gospel. God's own it. It's not ours. The message was not just a good news. It is the greatest message that actually a message that have the power to change lives. An announcement that changed everything. A message that changed everything. Lives, beliefs, faith, changes lots of things. Because we proclaim, in every good news we proclaim, every time we proclaim the good news, we all talk about life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the return of Christ. And it's good to think about this in this mission, man, to think about the gospel of God, the one that we experience, the gospel that we receive. Life. Jesus said, The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I'm going to read some verses, and I encourage you to think about all these verses. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is life. Giver. Jesus is life. John said, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. And that is what we are bringing to the people, to proclaiming the good news. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about the church, it's not all about the pastor, it's all about you, but it's all about Jesus, because Jesus is life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but who rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. Then after life, every time we share the good news, we talk about death. For the wages of sin is death. Death. There is second death. There is physical death. There is spiritual death. But I like this verse, not the death part, but the second part. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ. I like the second part. There is death, but there's a gift. And that is the good news. That is the gospel of God. Yes, death exists, but the offer is eternal life, to live eternally with God because of Christ. That's why Paul said in verse 15 about the resurrection of Christ, he said, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Because when we talk about resurrection as part of the good news, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Paul again in 1 Corinthians 15. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. A wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in a blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. When we talk about the good news, life, death, the resurrection of Christ, it all goes back to Christ and yet shows how blessed we are to receive this gospel of God, that we have this Jesus in us and we have the life giver, we have eternal life, and we have this relationship with the Son of the living God. When I visited Philippines 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, for 1 week, I visited two families, two sick people. One is my first cousin. When I entered his room and saw me, he started crying because he knows that he's dying. And two words actually comes to his mouth while he was crying. One is, I'm scared. The second one is asking for forgiveness. Scared to death. Gary is his name. He prayed to so many saints. He actually goes to church every Sunday with so many costumes, religious costumes, and all those things that shows how religious he is. But during this time, on his deathbed, he's crying and scared. Where is that? I told him, I know you prayed with so many gods, but I'm telling you now, there's only one who can save you, who can take away your fear, who can give you peace, who can forgive your sin, and it is Christ alone and no one else. And we prayed the prayer of acceptance. He shared the gospel. I pray that his prayer will be acknowledged by God. But the fact that, yes, this one, this guy, Gary, is dying, and there is fear, he's scared. You can see in his face, because he does not have that kind of relationship knowing Jesus, the life giver, Jesus that can provide that kind of life, eternal forgiveness of sins, salvation to his soul. And another guy is Paul, who is in terminal cancer as well. Before I came to visit him, he got heart attack and then half of the body is paralyzed. And yet, with terminal cancer, so complicated. The family weren't able to tell him what's happening to him, that he's actually dying. He was sent back to their house, to their home, because the oncologist said, there's nothing we can do. I asked my niece a few days ago and asked, did you tell Paul about his condition? And said, we're about to tell him today. And then I texted him the following day, what's Paul's response? Well, Paul's response is something that they don't know if he understands what they're saying, but he said, I know that I can still drive. I know that God can heal me. Well, still the fighting spirit. But there's the belief in God that God is always in control. And that is a comparison of the guy who don't have Christ in his life and the guy who have Christ in his life that can live in peace, that have the knowledge of the power of the good news. Yes, we have Christ, our life giver. We have eternal life in Christ, and we will be raised from the dead in case we die, and the assurance that if we die today, we're going to be with him. And then the promise of when Christ ascended, John 14, 1-4, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also to me. Believe in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am giving that to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This is one of my favorite passages when I'm sharing the good news. When Jesus ascended into heaven, that is all his plan. He's going to prepare a place for me in heaven. Once it is prepared, he will come back and take me with him. And that is part of what Christ has done. That is part of the bigger picture of the gospel, of the good news that we proclaim. That I know one day when he came back, he will take me with him for eternity. That if I die today, I'm going to be with Christ for eternity. Not because I'm handsome, because I'm not. Not because I'm thin, because I'm not. But because of what Christ has done. Not because of what I did, but because of what Christ has done. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not all about me. It's all about what Christ has done, that he died on the cross and took all our sins upon his shoulders. He was buried and rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, prepared a room for me, and he said, I will come back, Ariel, and I will take you with me, for you to be with me for eternity. Isn't it an amazing news? And who's the person who's going to look forward to that day? We are all looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. Not as a savior, but someone is going to take us into his place and to be with him for eternity. That's why he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. We have this assurance. Now, that is the gospel of God. But Paul said, I was set apart for the gospel of God. Paul, as a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Acts 19:15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and the kings and to the people of Israel. Paul acknowledged that he was set up to proclaim this gospel. And he was a chosen instrument. And you and I are also chosen instrument. 1 Peter 2:9 that says, you are a chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Paul was set apart. He claimed that. Yes, I was set apart to proclaim the gospel of God. But we are a chosen people, a chosen generation. We are saved. And John said that they proclaim what they saw, what they hear. And we proclaim what we experience. The relationship that we have in Christ, we experience and we proclaim what we experience with Christ. I like Paul's thinking when he acknowledged that he was set apart to proclaim the gospel of God and the way he tried to proclaim it. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23. It's a long passage, but I'm going to look on these verses. First one, he said on that passage, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. Every time I look on this verse, and when I put it like this, the one thing that I always, first thing that I saw is the word win. What Paul is always thinking, I have to win this person for Christ. I have to win this person for Christ. I will do everything to win this person for Christ. That's how Paul thinks. When he acknowledges, I was set apart for the gospel of God, to proclaim the gospel of God, this is the way he thinks. I must do everything to win this person for Christ. I don't care if they think me a bad person or something like that, because he said, I have become all things to all the people. Probably some of them judging him the way he approached people in sharing the gospel. But one thing that he's always thinking is, I must win this person to Christ. And he said, I do all this for the sake of the gospel. I always remember this thought every time we end up in an argument with someone about faith. You might win the argument, but lose the soul. You choose. You win the argument or you lose the soul. For Paul, I might lose the argument, but I want to win the soul. That's how I think Paul's thinking about when he's acknowledged, I was set apart for this. Proclaiming the gospel of God. So how can we know the power of the gospel of God? Romans 1:16 says that I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes. First to the Jew, then to the Gentiles. Paul said the gospel of God is so powerful because it's changed lives. But one thing that I would like to ask for everyone today is to think about the power of the gospel of God into our own self, in our own lives. Ephesians says, remember at the time you were separate from Christ. I would like you to close your eyes and think again this. Close your eyes, and I'm going to read this verse again, Ephesians 2, 12 to 13. And think, reflect on this verse. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise. Without hope, without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When we think of the power of the gospel of God in our lives, the life, the death, his resurrection, the forgiveness of our sins, think about how powerful this gospel meant to us. And looking on that, thinking of that, how to think of that is, think about before you came to know the Lord, what kind of life do you have? And after you came to know the Lord, what kind of life do you have? Before and after. And after thinking of that, you can ask God and say, and thank him for the power of the gospel of God that reaches your heart, and you came to know him, and you asked the forgiveness of your sins, and accepted him as your Lord and your Savior.